This is the Science of Deliberate Creation, and this tape, entitled Self-Appreciation, is the 9th tape of a 10-tape album. And this album, Special Subjects Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Abraham.
It is nice to come together for the purpose of co-creating.
Yes, it is.
Upon this most important topic.
Self-appreciation.
From our perspective, there is not a more important topic in all of the universe, because as participants within the universe, as those who add unto the universe by virtue of that which we are, then there is nothing in all of the universe that is of greater importance than the way we are feeling about ourselves. Because as we see ourselves, we attract. As we see ourselves, we ooze. As we ooze or radiate, we influence all that is, you see. You have some place you are wanting to begin with?
Well, I guess, like most cases, I guess I usually talk about my own experiences because they're the only ones I'm the surest about what happened and how I felt about it. But it seemed to me as a little child, I had such self-confidence. I mean, I didn't know a stranger. I didn't know anything but my ability. I felt capable of doing or achieving or becoming anything. And then I remember as the years went by how I lost so much of that confidence and began to be critical of myself and accept criticism by others, and to where I became almost an introverted person and that sort of thing. And I see it as I see other little children. I see them coming in with this bravado, you might say, this high self-confidence. And then I see them, as they move along the way, I see them get, I'll call it chopped down a little, that confidence, that self-esteem. So I would like it if you could clarify for us a little more, or a lot more, how we get to this state, how we make add to anyone else getting to that state of loss of self-confidence, and how we can come out of that state and become confident again and have high self-appreciation, and how we can be of some value to the people around us in helping them, uplift them, to a higher degree of belief in self, or whatever you want to call it.
Your offering is wonderful and perfect to the subject. You say, my knowing comes most pointedly to me through my own personal experience. And we say, that is always the way. And as you have offered your keen awareness of your own experience, whether it is the one you were living or your observation of that which others are living, you have very accurately pinpointed something that is very important to the understanding of why you are here and what this life experience is all about. You are accurate in your observation that those who emerge into the physical are full of a feeling of self-appreciation. You defined it as self-confidence, but it is the feeling that all is well and that I am right within the universe. Then by virtue of your interaction with those who are, as you described yourself later, those who are coming much more predominantly from a place of lack, as you are exposed more and more to their attitude of lack, to their attitude of blame and criticism and judgment, all of those manifestations of a feeling of lack within themselves, then you begin, by virtue of their contamination or their influence, to feel the same way. And then you are a part of that which welcomes the next in, and so on. As you say, how can I feel otherwise in a world that is surrounded, or a world that predominantly is focused upon lack? And we say, it seems as if it would be a big order of business to feel other than that which almost everyone around you feels. And yet we are wanting to put you and your physical body into the proper perspective relative to you and all that you really are. While it seems that it would be difficult as one physical being to buck the system, so to speak, and feel good about self when he is surrounded by millions of other physical beings who do not feel good about self. We say to you that you have within you an inner being that does feel good about self. And that if you will listen to what is coming forth from within you, that you will again, even as a physical creature, begin to resonate with who you really are rather than be influenced by the confusion that surrounds you on your physical earth plane. Really what we're talking about here is coming into harmony with self. Really what we're talking about here is looking within for harmony rather than looking without for harmony. What we're talking about is reconnecting with who you really are for your sense of security and well-being rather than looking to other physical beings who don't have it and try to find it there from them, you see.
Well, let's go back. I will go a little further ahead with the same subject. Okay, I recall the negatives as a child, the ones that were putting me, criticizing me and making me feel really bad about myself. But then I remember my grandfather as among my family members that uplifted me tremendously. And I remember in school the teachers that deflated me and tried to humble me and belittled me. But then I remember Mr. Ben Hanley in school who uplifted me and made me feel so good about myself. I remember the people in the gym that criticized me and called me this and that and the other thing. But then I remember Mr. Ben Pierce, the gym coach, that just uplifted me tremendously. And at work, I remember at work, so many people, so much criticism and so much complaining and arguing and fighting. Well, I can't really remember anyone there that was uplifting, but I remember out of what I wanted to get was out of all of that, I wanted to move myself physically out of that. I mean, I was so excited. The church did so much to there was so much criticism I would hear about the rest of the world. It wasn't about me so much, and they tried so hard to uplift me. You know, I was like scouts and leading the singing and the choir and so on and so forth. But it's still, I wanted away from there because in all of that criticism, I wanted to take my physical body away. But what am I hearing from you is it's not an action thing kind of thing that we need to leave. We just need to develop this belief, this confidence within ourselves. We don't need to look to those other teachers or family members or guides to uplift us or give us self-confidence about ourselves, although it does help. We can find it just directly in ourselves no matter what's going on around us.
You've made a very good point as you have stated that there were those who were uplifting and those who were not.
Mm-hmm.
What you've described in your physical experience is what we see as the perfect balance of the universe. There are positive and negative aspects to every part of this universe, physical and non-physical.
Right.
You must decide that you are wanting to attract unto you the positive aspects of this physical time and place. And once having made that statement, I want to feel good, then your inner being is alerted to assist you in knowing what thoughts, words, and actions are in harmony with that intent of feeling good. You see, what is confusing to most physical beings is that while you are aware that you existed prior to your emergence into this body, and while you believe, many of you, that there will be life after this physical experience, few of you understand that you are, at the same time that you are here in this physical body, simultaneously a non-physical being also. You do not understand the broadness of your beingness. And yet that is what is essential in order for a true appreciation of self. If you are comparing yourself against other physical creatures and utilizing the very limited guidance that comes forth from them, you find yourself absolutely unfulfilled about what you are all about. You find yourself not understanding the sensations that are coming forth from you, the feeling of urging that says there is more to life experience, or a real thirst for freedom and growth and joy, because there is just not enough motivation of a physical nature to support this great urging that most of you feel from within. And so it is essential from our perspective, before any of you as physical beings can really come to appreciate yourself fully, that you first make that clear connection with the broadness of your being. You see, your inner being vibrates at a place of positive emotion. And while there are great variables about the intensity with which you as physical beings upon the planet seek your freedom and your growth and joy. All of you, from physical perspective, have non-physical counterparts that by your physical standards vibrate at a very pure and very positive place. As you are physically focused here, and as you have taken your direction from those that have come before, and as you have become one in a society of many who predominantly sees lack in this and lack in that and lack in this and lack in that, much of your thought, not all of it, but much of your thought is focused toward the lack of something that is important to you. Whenever you are focused upon anything, you are thinking. And that thought that you are focused upon is vibrating. And because you are focused upon that thought, you are vibrating. When you are focused upon a thought that vibrates not in harmony with who you really are, you feel the divergence from who you really are, and it manifests within you in the form of negative emotion. In other words, the feeling of insecurity that comes forth, or the feeling of fear, or the feeling of loneliness, or any of those negative feelings that you describe, those feelings come forth as you are focused upon thoughts that do not harmonize with your greater wanting. And a lifetime of predominantly thinking in those directions, I'm not enough, I'm not smart enough. After all, most of you are convinced very early in life that you have been sent here to prove yourselves worthy of something, that there has been some great wrongdoing done, and that now you're here in some way to try to make amends for it, to try to prove yourselves worthy. And so almost all of you are coming from a very strong perspective of lack, which means almost all of you are not vibrating with the energy that is inherently you, which means almost all of you are predominantly feeling that disconnectedness from who you really are, which means almost all of you are predominantly feeling more negative emotion than positive.
How do we get out of the comparison factor? For instance, whenever I would be down, somebody would do something spectacular on the diving board. Well, I always had a lot of dives that I originated so no one could do them. And so I would say, well, I can do this, and they couldn't. Or if I'd see a juggler that could outdo me in some way, then I'd always have some juggling moves that I had learned that no one else did. And so I could always say, but I can do this. And so I used to, I didn't say that to people, but in my mind, I was always weighing myself against somebody else's talent and ability and skills and this and that and the other.
Indeed, you've learned it. It is the physical way.
I see this as an adult, I've tried to pull my life out of being competitive with anyone. As an adult, I did a lot of it as a child, but as an adult, I decided I didn't want to be competitive. But I see a massive thrust of competition as a way of life almost. But when you get in competition, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. And to me, I always felt the winner. When I was winning, I felt good. But then if somebody beat me, I didn't feel good. So to stay feeling good all the time, I either had to win all the time, which I hadn't found a way to win at everything because we all have our own skills. How do we get out of that competition thing and just live in the moment and feel great about... Okay, here's what I'm getting at. I heard you talk to someone recently whose husband was, she said, handicapped and wouldn't stay in the wheelchair and couldn't use his hands and couldn't this and couldn't that and wouldn't this and wouldn't that. And you said to her, reflect back to him the value of his beingness. Now, that even though he can't use anything physical, let him know how important he is just by being. Would you wrap all of what I'm trying to bring out here up somehow and throw it back to us so that we can utilize it in some way toward all feeling even better about ourselves?
Competition in and of itself is not good or bad. In other words, you have heard us say on many occasions that as you compare and feel the lack, that it is a very detrimental thing, but it is not necessary that you always feel lack when you are in a state of comparison. Actually, your universe, whether you are speaking of it from non-physical or from physical perspective, is what we call perfectly balanced, which means every subject is really two subjects. Upon every subject, there is the having of that which is wanted or the having of the lack of that which is wanted. competition or seeing another that has a skill or an attribute or something that you would like to have can be very positive if it is stimulating you to an awareness of having. In other words, many have discovered their wanting very pointedly only after someone else who was experiencing it came into their experience and reflected all of the positive benefits
of that. Now, you're speaking of comparison here, aren't you, more than competition as such?
Comparison and competition are really... competition is a more extreme version of comparison.
Okay.
They are really not so far apart. Anything that is acted upon from a place of lack is counterproductive. And so if you are not feeling that you are enough and you involve yourself in comparative or competitive endeavor for the intent of making yourself feel as if you are more, usually what happens is you just attract more and more of a feeling of not being enough. In other words, there is not an ending to that game. There is always someone who is better at something than you are, more evolved at it, strictly because of their attention that they've given to a subject. When we use the word evolvement, we mean attention to a subject. And any time that attention is given to a subject, by law of attraction, it must become more, you see. And so you are right when you say it seems like a never-ending spiral, that there is much negative that comes about from being competitive. There are always losers, and as an uplifter, if you are not wanting anyone to lose, then you are never happy when you are involved in competitive sport or comparison of any kind. You are wanting to speak?
For years, I drove the Buick car because I said to myself, well, they have everything in them, and it's a Cadillac, but they don't have that image as a Cadillac. In other words, I, from a poor background, criticized people that were wealthy, and so I really criticized anyone that drove a Cadillac. And then once I changed my mind and decided I wanted to make money, then I drove only the most expensive Cadillac that was made, and I wasn't critical of the Buick anymore, but I made another decision. But I was operating constantly about, how do people look at me? Do I drive a Buick because I want people to see me as such? Then next I'm driving a Cadillac Seville because this is what I want people to see me as. And yet the cars were primarily the same thing, and probably a lot of others basically the same. That's a game we're playing with ourselves, isn't it? And would you call that an unhealthy game?
We would say that any time what someone else thinks about you becomes more important than your own balance with self, that you are in an unhealthy position. Anytime you take action to try to manipulate or affect another's opinion or attitude about you, then you are coming from a less than good position. Mm-hmm. And yet, as physical beings who have no other basis of finding your place in the universe, most of you are left with nothing if we say compare not. Those words would sound very strange to most of you, because you cannot imagine life experience without caring what somebody else thinks. After all, the very basis of your society depends upon that. Your rules of law and order depend upon that. Your religious rules depend upon that. As a people upon this earth, is not your dominant quest to define the laws and then to find those to defend and protect the laws? And is there not a great organization already in place to punish those who violate the laws? Most of you are so busy worrying about what others are doing, which includes what others are thinking about what you are doing, that you don't even come close to living your life in the way that you had intended prior to your emergence to coming here. As your attention is focused out into the world, perusing the eyes that are looking back at you, and as the majority of your attention is given to what I might be or do or have or think or say that will evoke some sort of response from the others, then you are still missing the point of why you have come forth into this physical experience to begin with. There is not a subject of greater importance that we could discuss with your fellow physical friends. The subject of self-appreciation is literally at the heart of everything that everyone that you know is living. We want to take a few minutes here to speak about you and your life as physical creatures and bring everything that we know to be into proper perspective in order for you to move forward in this, your physical life experience. And it is our powerful intent that as you hear these words, that you will find those missing pieces and you will once and for all be upon the path of that which you've intended as you've merged here into this physical body, into this very specifically and very deliberately chosen time and place. Some offer criticism when we attempt to put such importance upon your acknowledgement of your own value. They say we teach selfishness. And we say, indeed, we do. Because we understand so clearly the powerful law of attraction by which everything that you are living, everything that you are knowing, everything in the universe, whether you are knowing it or not knowing it, is operating. Law of attraction means that that which you are, that which you are feeling, that which you are oozing, that which you are thinking, that which you are vibrating, that which you are being, that which you are is your point of attraction. And as you think and feel, you attract. You are the attractor of your experience. Not one other in all of the universe has anything to do with what is coming to you. And so there is not a more important topic or understanding for you as an individual to come to understand than how to feel good about you, because the way you feel about you is your very basis of attraction. We are wanting to assist you in understanding the connection between your thoughts or your words. Words are just verbalized, more strongly projected thoughts. And the way you are feeling, and that connection with what you are attracting. In order to accurately address the subject of self-appreciation, it is necessary that we remind you that you are not just this physical creature. You are a very old, very wise being that has lived thousands of life experiences. And so when we're talking about self, we're not talking about this physical creature that is standing here in this physical body that is dealing with the pressures or the exhilaration of this time and place. We're talking about the total you of which this physical you is a manifestation. When we're talking about you as a being, or you as a being who would appreciate self, we are talking about the total you. And many of you balk at that because you don't want to talk about the total you. You just want to talk about the physical you. And we are here to tell you that you cannot separate the two. The way you feel about you right now has not only to do with the physical you. It has to do with the physical you relative to the broader inner you. When you stand in your now and you look at yourself, and you compare, and you feel criticism toward yourself, and you come to conclusions such as, I am not enough, I am not smart enough, or good enough, or whatever enough. Those thoughts are so contrary, so contradictory to the opinion that your broader self holds of you, that you feel negative emotion. And by virtue of the way you feel, you attract unto you. You see, if you lived in a universe where everything revolved only around your action, then we would say, think any thought you like, speak any words you choose, focus upon the positive and negative aspects of any subject, but just be careful about what you do, and everything will turn out just fine. But we do not know such a universe. We do not know of a universe, certainly not this physical universe in which you are focused, where it is your action that is responsible for what you are living. Instead, you live in a universe where every thought that you think vibrates, and by the powerful law of attraction, thoughts are connected to thoughts, connected to thoughts, connected to thoughts, and the balance of thought that is within you is that which you are living, your life experience, that which you call my real life experience, my reality, is nothing more than a product of the balance of thought that is within you. And the balance of thought that is within you is eternally acknowledged by you because of this very responsive, very alert, very attentive inner being that exists within you. You came forth into this physical dimension and you said, I will go forth as a physical counterpart of the broader me, and I will chew upon the data of this time and place, and I will listen for the guidance that comes forth from within. And your inner being said, and I will be eternally aware of you, and I will be consistently who I am, vibrating at where I am. And if you are thinking thoughts that are not in harmony with that which I am, there will be a feeling of divergence or separation by the natural laws of the universe. And the resultant feeling that you will have as the physical counterpart is one of negative emotion, one of separation, one of divergence of that which I truly am. Sounded like a very good plan to you. And so you came forth into this physical body feeling wonderful about who you were, clear about your reason for coming forth, intending to chew upon the data of this time and place, intending to allow the guidance to come forth from within, and most of all, intending to acknowledge yourself as the pure and perfect, eternally growing, attractive, creative being that you are. All of that was very powerfully known unto you. You chose a dimension with many new aspects, a time and place that was new to you, not known to you, because you wanted the stimulation of thought that it would provide for you. You said, I will not remember all that I've lived before because I'm not wanting the clutter of those details. I will just remember basically who I am. I will have a sense of who I am by the way I feel as I respond to the activities, to the thoughts. As I interact in this new time and place, I will always know the appropriate action by the way that I feel. And so you have come forth into this physical experience. Most of you, instead of remembering who you are, have been persuaded by the others that you are vulnerable, that you are weak. They say, watch out for this, watch out for that. You've been persuaded that you are unworthy. They have said to you, you are now here to make redemption for sins of past experience or even for sins of others. In their feeling of lack of appreciation for self, they have convinced you through their warnings that you should also not appreciate yourself. And with every thought that you ponder of that nature, you hold yourself for the time of that thought in a place that does not harmonize with who you really are. The happier you are, the more in harmony you are in your thought, word, and action with who you really are.
Well, Abraham, this is very clear about the value of us feeling good. Now, will you guide us on how to feel good? Can you give us a process or a technique to feel good about ourselves, to have self-appreciation?
From everything that you've heard us say here, can you understand that your inner being exists in a place of feeling good? When we say to you, your inner being exists in a place of pure positive emotion, can you accept that?
I can, yes.
And so, from what you have just heard us say, which is in order for you to harmonize with who you really are, you must feel good, then is it not a rather simple or logical process to think thoughts that make you feel good?
Yes, but not easy to stay on them sometimes.
And why is that? Because of the influence that surrounds you?
Yes.
We're watching Esther, for she is very much intrigued with this idea of vibrating by virtue of the thought that she is thinking. She can pointedly feel when she is connected purely with Abraham. She feels our positive ecstasy surging through her. And she has been able to isolate the difference. In other words, she can see very pointedly that the way she feels is absolutely correspondent to the thought that she is thinking. And so she decided that she would deliberately raise her own vibration. She said, I will hold my thought upon the positive side of enough subjects that by virtue of the law of attraction, I will literally raise my own vibrational frequency so that it harmonizes or connects with who I really am. And so off she went on a subject. And within a minute or two, she laughed at herself as she realized that she had slid off the other side. And so she chose another subject. And she held her thought in a positive place. And then again she began to laugh because she realized she had slid off on the negative side of it. Your physical orientation has trained you to be so objective, to weigh the pros and cons of every subject. And so you are right, it is your nature much of the time, in your desire to be objective, to evaluate both sides of every subject.
Right.
It is our encouragement that you begin making a statement, nothing is more important than that I feel good. Understanding that when I feel good, that means that my thoughts are harmonizing with who I really am, which means I am in the place of purest, most positive attraction unto me. And by making that statement, and then by being sensitive to the way that you are feeling, you will discover when you are upon the topic of lack or upon the topic of your desire. It is a matter of individually, segment by segment, moment by moment, making a decision that you want to feel good or that you want to harmonize with who you really are, and then paying attention to the way that you are feeling.
If each of us felt totally at one with ourselves, if we were totally in harmony with all aspects of ourselves, would there be any need for leaders or people on the world to control us or tell us what to do or when to do it?
There would
so
not,
and so forth?
Because all of that comes from perspective of lack. They lead you because they see you as not capable of leading yourself. Almost all who are seeking to control you or to guide you do so because they acknowledge your weakness. And that, friend, is defiant of your knowledge as you emerged into this body. If you could just catch a glimpse of who you are and why you have come forth as an individual, you would never again look outside of yourself for guidance or for leadership. And that is what this business of self-appreciation is all about. That is really what is at the heart of this issue. We want so much for you to spend more time thinking thoughts that are in harmony with who you really are, that more of the time you are in connection with who you really are, so that you can utilize the guidance that is really you, that is coming forth from within you. You gather together in your numbers out of your feeling weak. You gather together from your place of lack and insecurity to try to make it better. And it doesn't work, you see. You just get more insecure, and you just attract more lack, and you attract more reasons for more laws, and so on. What we are wanting so much for our physical friends to understand, to really know, is that your inner being absolutely adores you. Your inner being knows the value of your physical beingness. Your inner being knows that you have come forth as a creator on the leading edge of thought. You have not come forth to compare yourselves critically to one another and to drum your fellow co-creators into the ground or into oblivion. You have come forth into this physical dimension with many others to enhance the experience of one another, to stimulate the thought and the awareness and the wanting of one another. From your inner perspective, you know that two minds coming together is more powerful than one.
Sure.
You know that as a mass of people upon the earth, that the variety of experiences and the variety of perspectives that you hold adds powerfully unto all that is. You know that you did not come forth to fix something that is wrong. You came forth to go beyond what is. You are upon the leading edge of thought and creation. Your inner being adores you. And in order for you to come into connection with that knowing and with that appreciation of self, you must think thoughts that are in harmony with that which your inner being is. As you think thoughts that beat upon yourself or beat upon others, your inner being does not vibrate in harmony with those thoughts. And so you are standing here, in a sense, naked and alone, separated from who you really are. If you are wanting to come into the full appreciation of self, we would encourage you to write in your book of positive aspects, which is nothing more than a notebook called Positive Aspects.
Yes.
Write pages upon pages upon pages of positive aspects that you see about you. And if you don't see any today, then write, I want to see some positive aspects about me. We would encourage you to look for your value everywhere that you can. Look for reasons to adore you. And what will happen is, every time you think a thought that is in harmony with that which your inner being knows to be, you will feel good. Every time you think a thought that is not in harmony with that which your inner being knows to be, you will feel bad. By paying attention to the way that you feel, you will begin to notice that when you're thinking thoughts that are praising yourself, you feel good. And when you are thinking thoughts that are diminishing yourself, you feel bad. When you're thinking in terms of I can, I can, I can, you will feel good. When you are thinking in terms of I can't, you will feel bad. This is an individual process whereby you as an individual decide that you want to feel good about you. Now, we can do a very good sales job. We can attempt to convince you why that is a good thing. When you feel good about you, you are vibrating positive energy. When you vibrate positive energy, you are positively attracting. If you are wanting all of those things to come to you, which includes the mate you have been wanting, the money you have been wanting, the work that is more satisfying and more fulfilling, the new house that you are wanting, the car that you are wanting, all of those things of a physical or non-physical nature that you have been wanting, the reclaiming of your perfect bodily health that you are wanting, if you are wanting any of those things that you are identifying as your desire to come into your experience, it is absolutely imperative that you come to a place of positive vibration, which means you must adore you. If you do not like yourself, then you can want until you are blue in the face, and those things that you want cannot come into your experience. The balance that you are wanting to bring into your life experience is the balance of appreciating you. And you appreciate you not all at once on the big things. You appreciate yourself one thought by one thought, one segment by one segment, one moment by one moment, by looking for reasons to appreciate yourself. If you are having trouble in your relationship, it is because you are not liking yourself. Much as you would like to give the blame to the other for what is happening, it is your lack of appreciation for self that is responsible for every area of lack in your experience. You're not getting along with your mate. You're not getting along with your employer. Your own physical body is sick. You don't have enough money. People are not treating you right. There is not one negative thing that you are experiencing that is happening for any other reason other than you are not appreciating yourself. When you are critical of somebody else, it's not about them. It's about you. When you are condemning the world, whether it is the political world or the religious world or the economic world or the ecological world, when you are looking at the flaws in the world, it is not about the world. It is about you. It is about the way you feel about you. And so we say, friends, nothing is more important than that you establish your own relationship with you. And it is our promise to you that your inner being adores you. But you close the door when you think thoughts of lack about yourself. Most of you would agree that someone who took a sharp object and slashed away at his own skin would not be one who appreciated self. In other words, he is inflicting hurtful painful, damaging action upon himself. That is all very clear and easy for you to see as he is bleeding all over the floor. But what you do not see is that thinking thoughts that vibrate at a place that is not in harmony with who you really are, thoughts that bring forth negative emotion, is the same sort of lack of appreciation of self. We are not just talking about appreciation here. Perhaps the greater topic, what we're really talking about, is harmony. Perhaps what we're talking about is deliberately thinking thoughts that vibrate in harmony with that which you really are. Unless you are particular enough to selectively choose the thoughts upon which you ponder and by which you vibrate that are in harmony with your greater wanting, then you are just another physical being banging around here doing it the hard way. Unless you are one who is willing to hold your thoughts in a positive vein long enough that that thought can attract another and another and another to raise your vibrational frequency to harmonize with who you really are, then you are not the powerful creator that you have come forth to be. The most predominant question that we hear from our physical friends is, Abraham, what is my purpose for life? Why am I here? And we say, you have come forth into this physical time and place intending to add to that which is.